Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born July 21st in Freehold, New Jersey, our next guest is a stand-up comedian and actor who you've seen in such comedy specials as The Burn Identity, Champion, Happy Hour, Tell the Damn Joke, The Last Late Night, and The Champagne of Comedy, as well as his starring role on the sitcom Sullivan and Son and appearing on Impractical Jokers. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Steve Byrne.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you. Look at us. We're here. We're doing it. You're in shape. I'm not.
You look
good.
Great.
To see you, man.
Hey, why were you in Thailand? Like, by the way, I've been to Thailand twice. I love it
yeah.
There. I've been through Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand, and all through.
It's funny, though. Like, when you go there, everybody just says, watch out for the lady boys. It's like,
yes.
That's all you keep hearing about. But, yeah, I mean, they're like, everywhere.
They're raised.
Yeah.
But poor families will raise these guys knowing that the guys aren't going to make any money, and they raise them like girls. And first time I was there, 1998.
Right.
So it's really pre-internet, and I was with a girl, and we ended up in New Year's Eve in Phuket, and the guy, they were trying to explain ladyboys to us, and I'm like, that's not a guy. That's a girl. I can see her boobs.
Right.
Topless, yeah. Beautiful high cheekbones, gorgeous. And so I slip like 50 baht, which is like a dollar.
Sure.
And she kicks her little sidebar, and she's like a wax bean. Like, I was like, you have a dick.
Oh, you're sitting on a baby bird. Oh, wait. Oh, no.
It was real.
Oh, no.
I was like, holy goddamn, that really is a lady. And then you realize it's all very real. Yeah.
It's all real. And I think that's why, like, here it's like pansexual, cisgender. It's like over there, it's just like, they're just cool about it. They're not like, you should celebrate me. You know, they're just like, yeah, just chilling. I'm just a dude.
For money.
With a twig and berries, yeah. That's got long hair and it's the hottest girl in the...
It's astounding. Well, to the point where I was with this ex-girlfriend, and there's a bunch of Germans and Australians next to us in this bar. And, you know, half those bars are brothels, too. You can do outdating. So we're there, and I see this guy making the deal with the MC to take the chick out. And I think I've got some kind of guy responsibility.
Right.
When they walk away, I go, hey, not for nothing, but... these are dudes. These are guys. And Australia goes, what's your point? And I was like, okay. I'm done here.
When you land, you just see a bunch of dudes that you know Chris Hansen has seen at least 15 of these guys before. But I was there for a private gig. So I was there for a private gig. And I'm telling you, like, I mean, you can just imagine. It was like, I was there to do some comedy in the middle of this party. And I was like, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen therapists before, but I need to go see a psychiatrist after the things I saw. I'm just like, this is crazy. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff.
Was it an expat?
No, it was some tech executive.
Right.
So
and he was throwing his birthday party in Thailand.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And I was like, right? I was nervous too because they're all Asian.
Sure.
And the only time I performed in South Korea before. For a bunch of Koreans, I never did that before, and they knew such little English, just like this group. In fact, the Koreans, they only know three words in English, and I heard them repeatedly, you're not funny.
If you're just doing the show, Steve Byrne, I mean, you think about, but you, like, I think about your life with Sullivan and Sons and all the Netflix specials and all the things you've done and the documentaries like The Amazing Jonathan and your podcast. And, I mean, you really are... like one of the more well-rounded, like you've every facet of comedy, every facet of entertainment you've been in, and you've walked through it, and you've been successful at all of it.
Yeah, all facets except tickets not available. I think.
By the way, KC Improv tonight, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Is that right? I'm sorry, God damn it. Comedy Club of Casey.
The Comedy Club of Casey, the dirty hippie.
Yeah. Gets so mad. By the way, why wouldn't he pick you up and bring you over here?
You would think.
Where's Dirty Hippie?
For me, no contact is great contact.
Yes. By the way, it is the Comedy Club of Kansas City, guys. It's 103rd and State Line. And so two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. And you were going to come in yesterday, but somehow, by the way, I don't know who your PA is, your personal assistant, that says, oh, no, you'll be in Kansas City on Thursday, but you're actually in Thailand. So,
yeah, just because you lose a day, then you gain a day.
That's right.
Everything was just so off. But
which we were fine with. I was just like, I just wanted to know the story. I was like, oh, there's got to be a good story.
No, I wish there was a story to it. But I will say I almost did stay an extra day because they're like, come on, stick around.
Sure.
And they had a private chef and just like they had.
Where were you in Thailand?
Phuket.
Yeah.
Right? Phuket. Right. Yeah.
Amazing place.
So I was at this gorgeous resort and they had this villa that was like, it was like a compound. It was like one of the nicest buildings, homes I've ever been in,
right?
And these guys just had it stocked with with everything,
right? You know? Right.
I mean, I don't have to say anything. I didn't sign anything. I probably should have.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say anything that's going to get me like assassinated.
Yeah. You know? It's a crazy place. I mean, first time I went there, and then we went back a few years ago to Vietnam we're going to go caving in the Son Dung Cave on the Laotian border, and ended up they shut it down. We ended up drifting through Cambodia and into Thailand. And
oh, wow.
And just spent New Year's Eve in the red light district in
I can only
Bangkok.
Imagine what you would.
I'm like, yeah. Lady, get your balls off my leg. Like that kind of a thing. Like,
but it's like, done. We think like Vegas, it's like, oh, Vegas is like, it's crazy. It's like, guys, Vegas is like, it's like the chips and salsa to the burrito you're about to, like the steak au poivre that you're about to have. I mean, this was crazy. I need to not only take a hot shower, but I need like shock therapy for like 6 months. Honestly,
like a purge.
Yeah,
yeah. I took a shower last night and two ping pong balls fell out. I have no idea where they came from. Like, oh my God, that's where they are.
Yeah. No, we actually one time paid that very first time because I didn't know what to do. We went with this girl I was dating, and we wandered in the afternoon into the red light district. We're just wandering with one of those books you have. You know, you buy the travel books and you're like looking, reading it. And so we see, and it was called Super P. Like they didn't have a great language, P-U-S-S, you know. And we wander in, we're the first people in there, and we order some Sing Ha beers. And she starts her show, and you don't know what to do when you're the only people in there. And all of a sudden, it happens, like something comes out of her vagina. And we both instinctively just went... Because I don't know what's my reaction supposed to be.
Yeah, at least like a magician, it's like, right? Exactly. But it's like, it's like a U-Haul. It's like, what else is in there?
Yeah.
Stop. We get it.
Razor blades on a string.
Oh,
that's
God.
A true story. And baby turtles.
What?
Baby turtles. And to the point where I said, I have to know how, show me. Cut a plastic soda bottle in half. Like a single serving one, and that becomes your baffle, and that's where your stash is, and that's how you produce a baby turtle.
Like what health inspector is grading that building? Like it's got to be enough.
It's gotta be enough.
That's crazy. But like when we were at the party, it was like you know there were all kinds of like everything you can imagine there, right?
Sure.
And then I found a group of guys who was just normal, and they're drinking, and it was just nice to be around like beer drinkers because when you hear that, it's like, fun, football, America, right. This is great. And then there were like three dudes with an alternative lifestyle drinking the skinny can White Claws.
Sure, of course.
I never paid attention to it before, but when they crack those open, it's very different. But you got to listen to them, because when they crack it open, it just goes,
It's got to be amazing though to general because I'm sure they flew you first class. I'm sure
the pod.
Oh my God, everything is fantastic, man. And you come back and you're back on the road again. This is not as much fun as Thailand.
No. I'll tell you, the pod is the great. Have you gotten? To
oh, so
sit
you
in
flew.
Those?
Oh, okay. When you said the pod, I was. So you flew in on one of those planes where you have your own bedroom.
Oh yeah, like a Cathay Pacific.
You get
the you have a door. It's like a studio apartment.
You have a bed.
Yeah,
real really bad.
I've only seen a picture. Like,
and they go, yeah, "Do you want a mattress? Do you want your do you want us to set your mattress up?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take a mattress." Okay. And then you lay it out. They lay it on down, and then you're just watching everything you want, and just like, I don't know. It just felt like I felt like a spoil. I was like, "Oh, this is what it's like to be like Uber. Like, just they're feeding you anything you want."
Like
free chicken tiki masalas, like on the way home, superfruit bowls, and it was unbelievable. It was like one of the best flying experiences. It was a 16-hour flight and then a 7-hour flight. And I was like, I would do this. You know when people leave on a cruise ship? Yep. Like, I'm like, I'll live in the air. I would do that. Yeah. I would 100% do that right now. It's the best.
And when you leave Kansas City, it's going to be on a regular flight. And you're going to be like, I hate this. I hate this more than anything.
The minute you get to, you're on, you know, Southwest or American. You're just like, here we go again.
And I have a weird fetish for airplanes. I love to travel. And so, you always see those photographs, like the pod, where there's a whole room. You have a door, and some of them have there's a shower in that section. You can like, hey, I want to take a shower at 1 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah,
you have the whole thing to yourself. It's absolutely absurd.
And they're not like woke. Like here in this country, it's like you know, if you're like an overweight flight attendant or whatever, it's like, well, we still gotta like serve these. It's like those ones. It's like they're all hot.
They're all hot.
Stunning. And it's like, this is the way it should be.
Yeah. No, because that's what you're there for, right?
Yeah, like, I don't want some air pig. I want a 10 giving me some soft fruit. Yeah, dragon fruit.
I've never heard air pig.
Yeah. I've had them before, though. You're like, air
pig. Thank you. I will borrow and give you credit.
Well, I remember because we flew to Vietnam on JAP Airlines, and I'm like, am I allowed to call this Jap Airlines? I'm like, what's the name of this airline? But it was JAP. That's it. That's what it was.
That's what it's called, yeah. They're all stunning.
Yes, everyone beautiful, man. That was like a 24-hour flight. 23-hour flight through the Republic of China. And you could tell that Asian dudes, you want to talk about not woke, that the translation was basically don't yell, harass, or hurt the stewardess. And when I was reading the English version, because they would bring around their duty-free stuff, and these dudes really want something, and they're really rich, and if they don't feel like they're getting the attention paid to them, these dudes will stand up and get serious about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But like to your point, like then you come back to the States, and you're like, you know, you're like on Alaskan Air. And when you fly Alaskan Air, remember when one door closes, another one opens.
How's it been for you, man? Because we talk enough on the phone, but this is such a weird world. You've got that great gift in comedy of seeing the world for what it is. You truly do. And your jokes are right down the middle. You just find the funny and then you scale. But I've always felt like you are. I mean, you are. And but the woke world, right? And you're not going to find a more liberal room than us, like, and how we live your life, do your thing.
Of course.
What do I care who you want to F as long as everybody's an adult? Like, it just, your world doesn't bother me. But even I'm like, God damn it, guys. Help me help you.
Help me help you. Absolutely.
Stop it with the crying about everything.
Like, especially these days. There's so much going on. There's so much right material. I mean, you have a presidential race between Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump, J for genius. And, you know, a new poll just came out from CBS that it's got Trump ahead of Joe Biden by 2 points and 3 indictments. But I'll never forget the fourth time Donald Trump was indicted, the fourth time ABC News re-edited his speech on January 6th. And via this edit, I'm telling you, it really did look like he incited a riot that day. I think they took it a step too far when they dubbed him in German. But for Christmas, I bought my father, because my father's a big Trump guy, I got him the book, The Art of the Deal, last Christmas.
I read that book. I interviewed him back in the day when he did that.
You did? Did you like it?
Yeah.
Did you have fun interviewing me, Johnny?
It was fantastic.
I dare you. You're the best.
But then my father, this year, I got him Trump's new book, The Art of the Plea Deal. So very excited about that. But again, like Hunter Biden is in so much legal trouble, really behind the eight ball. People. But he, you know, he didn't pay his taxes for quite a few years. It was $1.6 million to the government. And a reporter broke down all the things he spent money on. He spent $20,000 on porn. So you just leave it to a Democrat to spend $20,000 on something that's free. Unbelievable. Joe Biden has a dog named Major. Did you know that Major is biting?
Bite everybody. Everybody.
Everybody. And bit its fifth Secret Service member in the last 3 years. And the Secret Service said, look, you got to get rid of this dog. And Biden said, I will never get rid of this dog. I need somebody to blame for the pee stains.
Dude, that's the thing is, everybody goes, hey, what do you want, AIDS or cancer? And that's it. These are our choices. These are our choices today.
That's right. Yeah. But it just, I mean, like the spectrum of politicians doesn't stop. You know, there are rumors that Biden might not actually, he might actually capitulate to the Democratic Party. And then you got a bunch of Democrats waiting in the wings.
Right.
Gavin Newsom, for example, Elizabeth Warren said she would consider running. If she does win, do you still play Hail to the Chief? People. People, if you're offended at that, be offended. Yeah. She drives a white Jeep Cherokee. Guys, I can't keep this together. You know who's a lot of trouble actually as a comedian is Russell Brand.
Yes.
Allegations of sexual abuse, a lot of worse things. I'll tell you this. I don't believe it, Johnny. I don't believe it for one second. He was on The View. He didn't touch any of those dudes. Now, Joy Behar on The View has said on the air she's had sex with ghosts. She's had a menage a trois with ghosts on the air.
Really?
This is not entirely true. She has had sex with men who immediately took their lives afterwards.
By the way, The View is the worst nightmare in the world. Like that is my. That's like when you go to hell if you're me. Mm-hmm. That's where you land, right in the middle of all those.
Oh yeah,
broads.
Yeah.
Oof.
The worst. Like if you were a waiter and those, no one wants that table.
No.
Nobody wants that table.
No.
Did you guys watch the Golden Globes the other night?
No, only watched the aftermath, and I felt bad for Joe Coy.
Look, there isn't a nicest guy, guy in comedy. He's a super, super good dude. I was hoping to see Oppenheimer do really well at the Golden Globes. I had to go see it. You know, I heard from Kim Jong-un. He said it's the feel-good movie of the year. And Kim Jong-un recently achieved the highest rank in the North Korean army, 5'6". A Hunger Games theme park recently opened in South Korea. It's called North Korea. Peoples. Climate change always in the news.
Yes,
right?
Always.
Climate change.
Always.
Did you guys know this? It's actually the number one cause of documentaries.
Yes. I have noticed that, as a matter of fact.
But teenage environmentalist Greta Thunberg recently broke up with her teenage boyfriend. Apparently, he was using a petroleum-based lube. A petroleum-based lube. Did you guys get? Okay. Okay, you ready for one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm not making this up. There is an actual dog flu going through this country,
along with
COVID. And this is very scary because my neighbors just got a dog from China. It's called a Wuhan lab. Hit me. The Epstein list was released recently. Bill Clinton was on it.
Yeah.
Reporters want to comment, but he's in bed with COVID-16. Come on now.
I missed the first part. You
missed it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris Christie recently dropped out of the Republican debate.
That's right. He's out.
One of the last, I'll never forget the last debate, though. One of the topics of discussion, and he was very, very forthcoming and opinionated about the Federal Reserve and how much power and sway they have over our economy and banking. And what you learn is Vivek Ramaswamy is anti-Fed, Nikki Haley is pro-Fed, and Chris Christie over-Fed. Come on now.
Dude. So do you have any pushback on your audience? Because you do walk right down the middle. Everybody gets beat. And so you got to know you're either going to laugh or not. Like, God damn it. Why do we love politicians? That's the other thing is I think I go, you love politicians. Like, have you lost your mind?
I love politicians because they're much like porn stars. The minute you get them on camera, they switch positions. Guys, come on now. But this is a rock station. You guys obviously love. Do you like country at all?
Oh, yeah, like real country.
Country. My wife's kind of gotten me into it because we moved to Nashville, but I like George Strait.
Sure.
And he recently said he's going to take old songs from his catalog and re-record them for a younger generation. Going to start off with this country classic. All my exes have changed their sexes. Hit me.
Dude, honestly, her daughter-in-law is married to Dan of Dan and Shay.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Because Nate Bargatze... is good friends with those guys, and I haven't been able to connect. Like, he's invited me over to come watch Steeler games because they're, I guess, Steeler fans, whatever.
So they were just staying at their house over Christmas, right?
Yeah,
we got down there right after Christmas.
Oh.
Took in the new year.
That must be nice.
Yeah, it was nicer than being here in our crap ass home.
Because I despise their music. And not them as human beings. They're wonderful people, but they might as well write mayonnaise commercials. Like, it's just, it's awful.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you once. I know a song or?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
You've heard it because
well.
It's huge. It's everything they write has been, everything. Everything's okay. Grammys. Everything is platinum. Everything is, they write for you. They write for somebody else. I'm okay making fun because they're going to cry all the way to the giant bank they live in.
Of course.
People love
course.
Mayo songs. I can tell you firsthand now.
Oh, man. Listen, like.
You say you'll be down.
Thank you.
Yeah. that's
I'm
enough.
Good.
But
yeah.
Here's why I do love them very much. All kidding aside, they foster old dogs. And so Dan and his wife, Abby, Mike, her husband's daughter, foster old dogs that nobody else wants.
They work
well, they're
the
putting everybody else to sleep. Why not? Sorry, guys.
Hello. If you think that clip's not getting emailed,
he's probably in the house right now going,
I'm sorry. Well, you might have seen like the Queen movie, right?
Yeah, Elton
John. They just announced Michael Jackson biopic. It's going to be pretty cool. Kevin Hart is going to play young Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And Cate Blanchett will play an older Michael Jackson. There it is.
Dude, that's where comedy comes in. To me, like, there is so much out there. We take ourselves so... I don't think we've ever taken ourselves as seriously in history as we tend to now.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, 100%. And you saw, like, what was happening with Joe Coy. I was in Thailand, and I'm just seeing my phone blow up, and then going to Twitter, go to Twitter, and I'm like, God, this guy's getting raked over the coals. And then I watched the monologue. I was like... It was a decent monologue.
It was fine.
It was fine. He had 10 days to prepare.
Yeah, he didn't murder, but he didn't blow it either.
No, he did. He did a serviceable job considering the fact that he had 10 days to do it, right?
Yeah.
And he goes in, does it, and the huge outcry is like Taylor Swift's people and like, you know, like, oh, he made a joke against Barbie. It's like, that's what he's doing. Yeah. He's a comedian.
Honestly, I think the problem was he didn't hit hard enough.
I agree with you.
And I think at least then it would have divided the room where he allowed it to be where it fell short. And I'm like, man, you should have hit harder.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
That's right. That's it, man.
You
can't
go,
back up.
Yeah, look what Gervais did.
Gervais.
He goes all in.
He goes all in.
That's what makes him great.
Yeah. And so that's why those clips are still resonant. That's why people are still sharing them. And that's why every Golden Globes, you know, you see a resurface. And it's like, it's still as resonant today as it was when he said it.
Yeah.
Man. And like Joe's stuff, it's like, you know.
And he'll be fine. Trust me.
He'll be fine.
His ratings, he's more well-known right this moment, whether it's, he did a fine job. He didn't have a baby. He didn't like, you know what I mean? Like he didn't do anything. He just did a good job. He didn't do a great job that day. Yeah. And he'll be just fine.
Yeah, he was handicapped going into it.
Yeah.
And look, that every comic knows when you're watching that, like people don't realize like, oh, you're a stand-up. You could just do it. It's like that was an example of the best worst corporate gig a comic could get.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a corporate gig. That's
absolutely,
all it is.
Absolutely, man.
It's not
they're
traditional
not normal
setup.
People.
No.
They're not real human beings that can laugh. First of all, they don't like to laugh at themselves.
That's
a room full of we take ourselves very seriously. This is the Golden Globes.
Of course, that's why there's no comedies ever nominated.
Yeah.
And that's why they haven't made an R-rated comedy. Name of the last Bridesmaids 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that.
So think about that. That's an industry that hasn't even invested in comedy. So you're taking somebody who's a complete stranger to them. And the biggest disparity is that 15, 20 years ago, you had Billy Martin. You had Steve Martin. You had Chris. You had people that were working with these people that had accomplished things in cinema that they respected and revered.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't a drama, but at least they worked and tethered, you know, like they had 6 degrees of separation. So it's like everybody's familiar with Steve Martin and Billy Crystal, and they would go see City Slickers. But nowadays, comics don't get to make comedies anymore. So they're like, who is this guy, and why is he here making fun of us?
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect him to do?
And because you write.
Yes.
And you've written a lot of stuff. I mean, dude, and again, it's not the happiest documentary you'd ever see. But, you know, when you were doing that, it is, you know, he was dying to great Jonathan.
Amazing Jonathan.
Sorry. Yeah. And but he was so great and so loved. And it's such a dark, such a dark thing, you know.
Sure.
For a comedian to know he's sick. Like it's
of course, yeah. I think one of the great moments I had is that he was always a big fan of Bill Burr.
Yeah.
I didn't get to meet Bill Burr. So I was visiting Jonathan, I got to see him about 5 days before he passed. And I was over there and I FaceTimed Burr. And I was like, Burr, you got to say hi to Jonathan. Burr's a huge fan. He's like, oh my God, of course. So I put him on the phone and they're talking. And then I hear Bill and he goes, Jonathan, I'm so sorry you're dealing with this. And I just want to let you know I respect you and I think the world of you. And, you know, you're an inspiration to all the, us comics. I just feel really bad. And Jonathan's like, ah, don't worry. And Bill's like, no, it's not that. It's that the last comic you're going to see in person is Steve Byrne before you die.
Dude, and in a comedian's world, what's better? What's
I mean, that's
better,
it right
man?
There,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's, and again, that's funny.
Yes.
Yeah, but you try that same setup at the Golden Globes. No way. Like, nobody. Because you've got to laugh at yourself. You got to know. He read the room right. He knew everybody there got it. Like, that's what you do.
Yeah, and he even recalibrated and course-corrected. You know, the one thing I saw as a comic that I didn't appreciate was when he threw the writers under the bus. They're trying to do everything they can, too.
Right.
Yeah, that'll get you smoked in Hollywood.
That'll get you smoked. That was not good. And here's another reason why I think it happened, right? Is because when you're Joe Coy, when you're Burt Kreischer, when you're Bill Burr, maybe not Burr as much, but these guys, they're Yankees in Yankee Stadium all the time, right?
Right.
So everywhere you go, you're kind of revered. So it's softball. But if you really want to work on jokes, go to situations where nobody knows you and keep
right.
grinding out the material. Keep grinding on the grind. But when you're just getting softballs every time you
right.
go out. So Joe, I think, was in a place where, and he admitted this too, where he didn't get to work those jokes. I think those were the first times he was saying it live.
Oof.
He should have been pumping these things out. But given the time constraints, he didn't have that. So I think had he had that, I don't think you're going to react that way in that moment if you had done a little bit more prep.
Sure. Well, imagine if had a Chappelle gotten that gig. Now, he's never going to do it.
No, never.
But,
it's a thankless job.
But can
Nobody
you imagine him just mowing those pricks down?
Oh, my God, it'd be great.
Just bleh.
And he's getting raked over the coals by the woke mob now, too. But
crazy.
I love how he just keeps doubling down on all these.
Yeah, because it's comedy. It's doing, comedy,
yeah.
man. That's
yeah.
it. And we were talking about this beforehand. Listen, there are so many things that you laugh about because they are cringy, for lack of overusing that word, or for using that word. You laugh, but you know what intent is. I know what the intent was when I watch it. I know what you meant. When we watch Blazing Saddles, we know why that was funny. Yes, you're using the N-word. You know why. You know why the setup was funny and what the intent was. And now we have this other side that just cannot hear it no matter what, so they want to scream. Then you have this other side who are super hateful, and like, it's not even funny anymore. Like, they go the other way. They're just flat out not
but
even
they're the loudest
at it.
Ones. They're the loudest ones, and they're the ones that recalibrate everything. And that's why, you know, like, even the N-word, like, you could have used it in a comedy in the 70s.
Sure.
But nowadays, I mean, it is radioactive. I will, and by the way, in my personal and professional life, I would never use the N-word. I'd never dress a black person as the N-word. I will never call them neighbor. So, guys, I didn't, you know, what do you want? It's early. Come on, guys. I didn't mean, oh, geez. Here come the phone calls. Uh-oh. Red light, red light, red light, red light, red light. Dump button, dump
Comedy
button,
Club
dump button.
Comedy Club of Kansas City. Hey, and listen, I'm going to leave this up to you, because if you can, will you hang for another segment?
Sure.
I know you've been up. It don't feel like you have to, man, because I know that you are tired.
No, I just got back from Thailand. Yeah, what's up?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Born July 21st in Freehold, New Jersey, our next guest is a stand-up comedian and actor who you've seen in such comedy specials as The Burn Identity, Champion, Happy Hour, Tell the Damn Joke, The Last Late Night, and The Champagne of Comedy, as well as his starring role on the sitcom Sullivan and Son and appearing on Impractical Jokers. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Steve Byrne.
I think we all met. You were either on the road or you were or Sullivan and Son's end. Or one of the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I think it was Sullivan's on tour.
But
yeah.
Just watching everything, just watching this crazy career of yours, man. By the
Thank
way,
you.
He's going to be at the Comedy Club of KC, 103rd and State Line. It's all going to sell out. Two tonight, two tomorrow night. Make sure that you go Comedy Club of Kansas City. 103rd and State Line tonight at the 7 o'clock show.
So I
we'll find
think
out.
So.
7 and 9:30 both nights.
7 and 9:30 both nights. ComedyClubKC.com.
They have heat where you are. That's
we'll have heat. Yeah, we won't be outside.
That's enticing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
we
right.
Won't, it won't be minus 8 with a wind chill of 40.
Freezing
minus
ass
40,
out.
Yeah.
You're not going to pay to park. It's not going to be $80.
Yeah. Taylor Swift will not be at my show. or any comedy show for the near future, I would say.
Right. Yeah. It's been a weird year watching this unfold because I'm not a big sports guy, but obviously we go to the Super Bowl a couple times. I'm a sports guy, though. But watching Travis Kelce, you know, all of a sudden there's Taylor Swift, who seems by all...
Yeah, very sweet.
Like, yeah,
cool,
right.
Yeah.
And I root for regular guys. I'm like, he's kind of a Viking Neanderthal type. And by the way, I thought his timing on Saturday Night Live was pretty good.
Yeah.
Both
of the brothers are good on camera.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fascinating. The New York Times came out with a report, like an op-ed, supposedly like trying to find queer energy mm-hmm. with Taylor Swift. And it's like, you think she's using the NFL as a buffer to go to like the WNBA and date somebody there? It's like, are you out of your mind?
It's the queer agenda, man. Yeah. They're just coming for us.
Nobody recruits harder than USC, the military, yeah. or the gays.
Yes, that's right. That's
those
right.
three. Yeah.
That's exactly right. You just go, God.
You're gay, girl. You don't know it.
Yeah. Oh, you clearly.
No, I definitely do. I don't. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, no, it's this side. Yeah. If I don't accept everybody's crate. By the way, here's how I feel about pronouns. And take it how you want. You can't give yourself your own nickname, and you can't give yourself your own pretend pronoun. You can, but don't expect me to call you warrior. Okay? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're fierce, Johnny.
Yeah, now I'm a hateful person, right? But on the other side, if you don't say I hate gay people, then like I think he's probably for the queer agenda.
Mm-hmm. I knew
right?
Him.
Yeah,
I knew it.
Well, matter of fact, I actually am because I don't care.
Yeah, are you happy and not a dick?
I don't care, man.
Continue.
Suck whatever you want.
Pleasure knew you were gay years ago.
Called it,
dude. Remember? Did you work for Craig at Stanford and Sons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you knew Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Rest his soul.
Watching it go
yes.
over your face. Oh, yeah.
Everybody, think about it. Just think about it. Look, I'm not going to be able to pay you. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. His brother come on all smacked up. He like, tell him he can have free cheese sticks.
God bless him.
But we went to war for 20 years, him and I. And again, I liked him because he had what I always referred to, Craig, as Hitler charm. I don't know why. I mean, like, I don't know why I'm listening to you right now, but I'm laughing a little
yeah.
bit, and I'm finding you amusing, and I'm entertained, but I know you're bad.
Very eccentric. I think I told this story before, but the first time I worked here, he picks me up at the airport, drives me to a hotel, and then I see this little placard. You know, as I'm checking in, it's just like, who's at the club this week, right? And it says my picture, and I just done my first Comedy Central Presents, and I was really proud of it. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting a tour now and everything. And then it just said, it doesn't say Comedy Central, it doesn't say everything. It just says, Steve Byrne, the crazy Asian. I was like, man, come on, dude.
Oh, that's it.
That's it?
Dude, racist is a yeah. day as long. Hey, he was.
Jesus.
Oh, dude.
It makes sense.
He was great. Because he was suing everybody when he passed, and I don't hold it against
Supercuts?
Him.
Sorry. Yep.
Apollo.
Yeah. And one of the things he was suing the station for, because we were talking about the fact that Craig was racist. It just he didn't want it, but and to the point where I finally had to turn our lawyer this audio of his girlfriend on the show. It was when he was dating Chocolate Becky, and he couldn't have an orgasm unless he was dropping the N-word on her.
Oh, what?
And I was like, well, here, just this is what we can take to court. Here's the audio of his girlfriend. Yeah, no, it was.
You think he's a racist?
No, not really. Probably so, though. I don't know. He says weird things sometimes when we have sex. Did you come in?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he was just one of those dudes that we'd go to war all the time. Like, but I had this.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah.
You kept letting him go around your orbit, though. I'm like, you just kept letting him.
Because
stop
he's
him.
The greatest entertainment ever. Because, you know, above all, like, I'm a whore for the radio, right? Mm-hmm. He can step on. And you're like, oh, this is great.
Light the fuse.
Yeah. And so he gets so mad, though. And I didn't realize Nikki and I didn't work together.
Right.
And for years, I had no idea. So I've never been married. And he was telling Nikki.
It would come out of nowhere because we'd not cross paths yet or anything like that. But he'd mention your name and you're like, you know he's gay, right? And I'm like, okay. I mean, all right, that's fine.
Fantastic.
So you brought it up one day. I'm like, oh, he mentioned it like a handful of times
so
that
good.
You're gay. And okay, great.
Every once in a while, and I don't know if you ever did this, he'd be like, oh, you want to go up and do some blow? I got this. She used to be a Miss Teen Missouri. And we're gonna double team her. She said she'd bang you. And I'd be like, no, dude, I did not want to double team abroad with you.
No.
I
mean, your whole personality was just a front. Like, what like?
Yeah. No. Okay. I wish it was. I'd have a lot. My life would have been a lot more simple. But he was just such a great character, man. I miss him all. I really do miss him all the
There's
time.
In the pantheon of like crazy, like, you know, all the people you meet in the course of comedy, the owners, the managers, the agents, like he's definitely top 10 in terms of colorful, like, wow, I won't be forgetting you. You're burning the hard drive.
Oh, and he even knew, even when it was good for him, he always knew good entertainment. So he would send me every voicemail from this chick who hated him, but he kept banging her. And she was this... She's kind of a hood rat broad, and I liked her because she was just on fire.
Right.
But he would give her checks for like $20, $50. Not necessarily directly banging, but just like allowances and stuff.
Right.
And she'd get mad when the check wouldn't be left, or she'd leave him these voicemails and like...
Did you want to turn your goddamn phone out, pussy, and act funny over a motherfucking phone that you found that you probably don't even have no more? It's not even in your goddamn custody. That's why you keep playing games about it. But you know what, bitch? You and Jeff, Jack, whoever, can keep the phone and shove it up your tight ass, you cheap bitch. Don't ever call me again, pussy, and kiss your warm statement goodbye, you cheap bitch.
And I just
so he'd write
these.
Her a check for $20, but then Craig would ask for $5 back.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, but he would just send these to me. I mean, I've got no less than 50 of these.
Oh, my God.
And because he knew, even if it was the greatest entertainment. So you meet these guys along the way, right?
It sounds like he had an affection for registered Democrats.
Yes.
I don't have any gas to get to work. I'll just lay in the bed and play on your phone and bug you all. Yeah, you
oh
dumb bitch.
God, she was great.
I'm a lucky guy.
But I think about Steve Byrne, if you just joined the show, and I look down at your list and I go, okay, the specials, Last Late Night, Happy Hour, Tell the Damn Joke, Champion, or Your Time on the Tonight Show, or The Chappelle Show, or Impractical Jokers, or Comedy Central, or your sitcom, Sullivan and Sons. Or, you know, it just goes and goes. And I think, man, you've met all these people. You've traveled these different roads of entertainment. And I think it's fascinating. I hope you write a book one day because you've seen a lot.
I mean, I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot. The problem is I'm one of those people. I'm really bad at remembering things. I'm always thinking about tomorrow. I don't think about yesterday.
Right. Dude, I do the same thing. And it'll...
Yeah, but I do have like some select things that always pop up. I'm like, man, that was hilarious. Or you know, just like we were talking about Burr off air. I remember we were both doing Dangerfields one night, and this is when he was like, you know, there's certainly people that, you know, anybody's gonna, comedy's subjective, right? So if you're gonna be offended, there's women that think Bill's misogynist, right? He's just poking fun at everybody. But this one night, he was really like going all in, you know?
Yeah.
He was experimenting and like working on material. And this Dangerfields, by the way, not a popular club when we were doing it. maybe you'd get 15
in New
people
York
there.
City, right?
In New York City, yeah. Upper East Side, you'd be if they had 15, 20 people there, it was packed, right? So Bill's performing. I'm waiting to go up, and this woman had had enough, and she's just like hemming and hawing. And then you just hear, "That's it," and she stood up and started going to the stage. I didn't see how old she was. She was 70. Because it looked like the Thriller video, you know, you just see this kind of like body go up and limping.
Oh, so
and
good.
Bill held the mic stand like he's in, like performing an exorcism. And I remember him just like holding the mic stand between him and this lady.
So good.
And no security is going to go up. Nobody's right. going to help. And Bill's just standing there and he's holding it. He's just going, "You can't do this, lady. You can't do this, lady." Had we had cell phones back then,
oh my God,
I would have had that and kept that. Oh, it was one of my favorites.
Dude, I've seen it with the Jim Jeffries show. I've seen Paul Rodriguez. I saw some guy charge the stage at a Paul Rodriguez show.
Paul Rodriguez?
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the softest.
But he was like the guy. I thought I was going to have to jump up. I was in the audience. I was like, oh my God, am I going to have to stop this guy?
Yeah.
And so you never know who's going to twist, right?
No, never. Well, I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite memories. And this is just... This is not name dropping. This is like the cachet of the Comedy Cellar in New York City, right? So at the Comedy Cellar, anybody could come in anytime. If you're in town working on Colbert or a set or promoting a movie, you're going to come to the Cellar, right? So one night, I was maybe like 5 years in now, and I'm feeling comfortable, and Tuesday night, and Godfrey's hosting, and Ray Romano comes in. And so, you know, I'm getting bumped.
Right.
As are the comics. And so Godfrey goes up, "Ladies and gentlemen, you're never going to believe this. It's Tuesday night. You paid $15. But ladies and gentlemen, how about Ray Romano?" Ray Romano goes up. Place goes crazy or whatever. And then I'm sitting in the back, and they go, "Somebody else came in. Are you going to stick around?" I'm like, "I'm going to stick around. I'm going to do my time." And slowly comics are going to leave, right?
Right.
So Godfrey goes back up. "Ladies and gentlemen, we had Ray Romano. This is really exciting. How about a big round of applause? Mr. Jerry Seinfeld, everybody." Seinfeld comes in. The place is going crazy, right? So back to back, this is right. like early 2000s. They're seeing, you know, Ray Romano, sure. then Seinfeld. And then Godfrey comes in. He goes, "Yo, another guestie." I'm like, "Man, all right." He's like, "You going to stick around?" I'm like, "I'm going to stick around." And again, comics leaving. Godfrey goes up. "Ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause. How about it? Robin Williams, ladies and gentlemen."
Get the
Robin
F out
Williams
of here,
comes
man.
Up. Place is going crazy, absolutely crazy.
Come on.
So then Godfrey goes back up again. He's like, "Byrne, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause. Chris Rock, everybody. Chris Rock."
Shut up.
The crowd is like losing their minds. And I've never seen, usually you get one or two, okay? Right. Not like five like this. So Rock goes up. "Ladies and gentlemen, how about Chris Rock? Place is going crazy." He's like, I can't believe I'm saying this. "Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the craziest nights I ever seen." Godfrey's back up. He's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Chappelle." Chappelle goes up. The people are standing up clapping. $15 they paid Tuesday night.
They've won the lottery. Oh, they've won the show that'll never happen again.
Exactly. It's a festival.
Yes.
Right? So Godfrey goes back up. He's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've been here a long time. I've seen a lot of things. This night is the craziest night we've ever seen, but it is a true honor to get to say this. I cannot believe these words are coming out of my mouth right now. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back on stage. He's here tonight. Eddie Murphy."
Shut
Place goes crazy.
Come on.
Absolutely
come on.
Crazy.
There's no
and
ways.
Then Godfrey goes, "Just kidding, Steve Byrne." I went up and ate a plate of D's. It was bad.
So good. What a great story.
But it was one of my favorite stories from the Comedy Cellar, and involves Godfrey, one of my best pals. But
he was
to
so
watch
great.
All those guys back to back to back to back to back, that was one of those nights where I was maybe 27 at the time, and I was just like, "Whoa, I can't believe I get to do this."
Yeah.
Like, I get to be a part, like watching greatness unfold
that's
like
it.
This. It was unbelievable.
The memory, and that's what I try to tell people that are on the pad. I'm like, watch, just watch and remember, and pay attention, man, because that's what's going to stay with you. You know, every car you drive goes to a wrecking place, every furniture turns to dust, houses burn down, your memories, like the moments you have, the things you're traveling through. Mm-hmm. I remember Gilbert coming in here, and he was supposed to stay for 15, and he stayed for almost 2 hours. And he was great.
Yeah,
and he,
yeah.
And you know, and getting over to the point where he wasn't bummed to be in here. You know, it's morning
right,
show
yeah.
radio. It is what it is. And I'll always remember that. Like, the getting to be with greatness.
Yeah.
True greatness. And then guys who wouldn't necessarily light it up on the show, but I knew who they were, like Paul Mooney. Getting Paul
sure.
getting Paul to accept you is a thing.
Yes.
It was a thing.
Well, just blame those voicemails.
Yeah.
Feel at home.
Yeah. And so getting to know Paul over the years, and he would come in, because, you know, Paul was, he was legendary for coming in and putting his feet up and coming up with a newspaper in front of you where you wouldn't even look at the guy on the radio.
Yeah.
Legend. Charlie Murphy in the early days was hard.
Yeah.
He was hard because he wasn't ready yet. And he was going to do it, but man, if you got cute, if you got radio cute about Eddie, about his brother, about life, dude, he was truly frightening. And by the end, we were friend. Like, he'd come in and he'd hug you, and he remembered your name, and it was, you know, those are the memories, man, I think. And I go, I'm just so happy. Bob Saget, one of the nicest human beings in the world.
Sure, of course.
One of the kindest, most genuine people, and I miss him every day. Just the anniversary of his passing was just last week.
You know who I really miss quite often, I think about him, is Ralphie May.
Yes, Ralphie was great, man.
Total renegade, didn't give any Fs. And I remember one time, this is one of my favorite stories of Ralphie. The Hollywood Improv, like, renovated, okay? So they had one of their photographers who had taken pictures from all the improvs all across the country, all the headliners, right? So you had all these people up, you know, all the regulars you would think of, you know, Geraldo and, you know, Dana Carvey, et cetera, Seinfeld, et cetera. And so Seth Rogen had just done the movie Funny People, I believe, with Adam Sandler. So he was there working on some stuff. And Seth Rogen's his huge frame picture was hanging above the ticket booth. And Ralphie came in, he goes, nah, 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 player. Nah, he ain't a real comic player. And he went over and he ripped it, literally ripped it off the wall, took it outside, and chucked it on the sidewalk with the garbage.
That's so great.
And any other comic would have been banned, gotten kicked out. And Ralph, they billed him, he paid for it.
Yep.
But he's like, his thing was, he's not a real comic.
Yeah.
He doesn't come here. Why are you putting his face up with all these other... I was like, that is awesome.
He was
really
so good
that.
To us for so many years. And you could call me, he'd pick up the phone. He was always that guy. And one of my great regrets is he invited me to a Super Bowl. And I didn't think he really meant it. And he really did.
Oh, yeah. He was a genuine guy. Yeah,
he's
sure.
I've got tickets. You should come. You fly out. He goes, I've got a suite. I've got all the... And I was like, oh, yeah. But I didn't... you know, there's half of you that thinks I don't want to ever put myself in that position because they don't really want, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But he really did. And he never let me forget, by the way, that I didn't go.
Of course.
And I still try to stay in touch with his wife and whenever she does anything. And I know that didn't end well for those guys, but I should have loved them together. I always did. I always thought, you know, when it was good.
Exactly.
And those guys that pass through, all the people that we see, like the journey you have. Mm-hmm. Again, that's why I'm talking to Steve Byrne, you guys. It's you've done so much and you've seen so much from giant corporate super tech gigs who fly you in the biggest. For people listening, you know, they don't understand it, man. There are some paydays where they fly you in the most opulent way, put you in the most opulent house to stand in their area. Because they want to bask in what you do.
They want to be
around.
That's
fascinating to me.
You know, the thing I think is the ones that stick with me the most are the USO tours, though. Because I've done 10 of them, and I'll never forget my first one. 2004, heart of the Iraq War. I'm there with Colin Quinn and Robert Kelly. And
two greats.
I'm a young kid, and my brother's serving. That's why Colin invited me, because my brother's over at Camp Victor North at the time. So he's like, your brother's serving. Maybe we can see him at the same time. I was like, oh, that'd be great. So I go out with him, and I don't forget the first show we do. It's in Baghdad, downtown Baghdad, kind of like bombed out area, right? We're outside in this courtyard, and they have this big rig with a flatbed attached to it, and like this kind of cool camo netting and speakers on the thing, and then they have all these chairs out, and they go, okay, so we're gonna have some commanding officers come out here. You can do a show for the higher ups and people we respect. I go, okay, cool. And they go, Byrne, you're going to go first. I go, of course, I'm going to go first. I'm with these guys. So as I'm kind of like getting situated, they're like, all right, we're going to go in about 5 minutes. I'm like, hey, I'm just like looking at these buildings with this guy, Chris, who was our liaison. Yep. I go, why are there like snipers like here and there and there? He goes, oh, those snipers there looking out for the snipers on the other side. And I was like, why don't we go inside? Like, why are we outside?
Yeah.
Why are we out here where we need snipers? Like, we shouldn't be here, right? And that was the one time in my life where, like, literally I was thinking I could die right now doing stand-up comedy. And it was, like, one of those perspective moments of, like, don't you ever complain about anything again, because this is every day for these people out here.
Yeah.
that are serving a country, missing birthdays, missing holidays. You know, buck up, go do the show, and for like 10 minutes, I was definitely sweating bullets.
Sure, yeah, but yeah, for
was,
real.
It was a perspective change for myself.
And you see
you know?
The bulletproof stuff that they're putting on you guys, and they're flying you on helicopters, and when you're moving through those areas, I mean, you really are at the hard spot. They're not. It's not all at the back. I mean, they're going towards the front. It's real danger for every comedian that goes there.
Yeah.
All those shows, I mean, they're up there for those guys. And that's the thing. It's like, right, we talk about the blind following of people. I believe deeply in our soldiers. Do I believe in the government, the guys sending them to their deaths when they're young guys? Absolutely sure. not. Do I support those guys? And I think we owe them so much. And we don't, when we get them home, we don't take care of them the way we're supposed to.
No.
And that's the
no.
fight I'll fight.
Yes.
But everybody wants to, you know, this jingoistic version of patriotism, the super flag waving in the end of your boat while you've got the guy you're going to vote for flag.
Right.
Stupid dicks. Like you know, it just drives me crazy. Like ugh. But
yeah.
where are you when these guys need you?
Exactly, you yeah. know? But, so, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not the government that's taking care of them. It's these private, you know, wounded warriors,
right.
all
that's
these
right.
other, these corralling groups that get together. And Mark Wahlberg spearheads another one. It's like, that's where it's coming from, which
yeah.
is good. It does exist. It's
oh,
just,
no, of course.
It's up
the,
to us.
The VFW, the headquarters for VFW is in Kansas City. I didn't know that until just a few years ago.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
I knew
that.
The building. I saw it with the... No, but I didn't realize it was the headquarters.
Sure.
And then I met all those guys, and that's what they do, that they are a nonprofit who is not owned by our government. It's not ran. Their job is to hold our government to the promises
right.
for these guys. So now, I hear about those USO tours, I mean, that's... To me, I can't think of anything I support more because it's real. You're not a tool of the man. You're not part of the propaganda machine. You're doing it because these guys who are over there, young guys, need a break. They need a little bit of laugh. They need a bit of home to remind them what they're fighting for. And again, that's why comedy is so important. The freedom to laugh at what you want to laugh at.
A healthy distraction for sure for those guys. I remember, again, I think it was my second tour with Drew Carey. We were in Afghanistan and it was Afghanistan or Iraq. We were like 2 miles away from the Iranian border. I'd have to look at a map, but we were like right in this incredible hot zone, and we were performing for special forces guys who were like, this is not even a forward operating base. They haven't established anything. They're just there at this outpost on their own. And, we go to this literally like a bombed out hut, and they had been waiting 6 hours for us 'cause our transpo took so long, and they hadn't even had a hot meal. And I remember when we came, they finally had a propane tank that had like a little grill on top of it where they could cook like sausage patties. And they were telling us this will be the first hot meal in like 2 months or something like that.
Crazy.
And just sitting there like,
it's
like surreal. You're literally 2 miles away from the enemy and you're with these guys that are all like Abercrombie models with thick beards that are full-blown assassins.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what is going on here? Like, how did I just tell jokes and how did I end up here? And it's like all these little experiences, I think, that make me better than everybody else.
Yep.
That's exactly.
Yep.
That's the point I wanted to make through all of this. It's so true. It's so true. Dude, I'm so glad you came. Dude, I know how late, long that flight was. I know that you woke up early because of, you know, being just jet lagged, and then you came in and you hung with us. So I can't thank you enough.
No, but to go back to what we were saying, like comedy brings you places. Like over the years, this is one of the few radio stations I'd be like, I will do anything to come out and be supportive, because you've always been supportive to me. Not that I mean you're established, but
no,
but the fact that you've always had a welcome mat for me, I really appreciate it, man. You're one of the great guys in radio and one of the true success stories in radio, and continued success to you and your team, and thank you for always being so cool to me.
I love you, brother.
Appreciate
I really
it.
Do,
love
man.
You too, man.
And,
honestly.
Dude, honestly, guys, do not miss it. Go to the website right now, and comedyclubkc.com. And Comedy Club of KC, 103rd and State Line. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Steve Byrne, BYRNE. Find everything on Comedy Central. Find it on Netflix. Find it on YouTube. Don't forget the podcast. The podcast, what's up, Pinata?
I do it with Joe Gatto from Practical Jokers.
Who's brilliant and a sweet man.
The best.
I really like him a lot, man.
He's a good dude.
Yeah. And so, guys, we'll put it all up on our social media so people can find it, man. Don't miss him tonight. Don't miss tomorrow night. I may come out tomorrow night.
Oh,
and I would love to see it, because it's been forever since I've seen you live.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
The great Steve Byrne. Wonderful.
Here we go.
Hey! Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.